The alleged use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government to try and reclaim rebel-held suburbs of Damascus has sparked calls for intervention against the Assad regime. Stephen Starr is the author of Revolt in Syria, Eyewitness to the Uprising. He spent 4 years living in the country and joins me now on the line. Stephen, good morning to you.
Morning.
The areas that were hit by these attacks, you've written this morning that it's not surprising that these particular areas were targeted by Assad and targeted in this way. Why is that? Have they been particularly troublesome to the regime?
Yeah, well, these areas were some of the first kind of satellite towns and suburbs of Damascus to start protesting way back 2.5 years ago in March and April 2011, and they've been subjected to mortar fire, to ground incursions from the regime, many times over the last kind of 18 months or so. What is surprising, I guess, is the fact that there is already a group of UN chemical weapons observers in Damascus, but they're not mandated to actually go and see what happened this week, which is, another kind of issue for the international community.
And who actually holds, what rebel group would hold these areas? Is it an amalgam of different groups or is it one in particular? I'm talking specifically, I suppose, here about Al-Qaeda.
There's a number of different groups. As far as I understand, there's little or no Al-Qaeda kind of presence, in serious presence at least, in the Damascus suburbs. There's a number of different areas. There's a number of towns kind of east and north of Damascus. There's also another town in the southwest. This town, Madamiya, in the southwest, is, it's kind of been occupied, or it has a presence of much more kind of liberal or kind of secular-minded, the original kind of fighters in the revolution. The forces in the east, where most of the chemical attacks are alleged to have taken place, are, I guess, followers of a more kind of Islamist way of ruling the country. So there's no kind of one kind of, a single kind of ideology among these rebels.
You've been talking to people in Damascus over the last 24 hours or so. What have they been saying to you about these attacks, about when the attacks took place and about what was different about these attacks, aside from obviously the use of gas, but what was different about these attacks from other attacks?
Yeah, interestingly, a number of different independent sources I spoke to in these different areas of the city or in different areas of the suburbs said the same thing, in that the sound, they've been used to shells falling on their areas for the last number of months, but the sounds that they heard before these shells were launched on Wednesday morning were quite different. So they said they knew there was something different was going to happen once the shells reached their kind of respective towns. They didn't know what it would be, but obviously we've seen since what has happened. One thing to kind of point out is that, we're dependent entirely on activist videos and activist accounts of what's happening and what happened Wednesday with these alleged chemical attacks. There's no journalists have been allowed to independently view what's happened out there. Activists are telling me today that there's still ongoing kind of conventional shelling of these series of suburbs. So they're not even able to reach the original areas of attack because they're under constant fire from government forces. So it's still very, very cloudy as to what's happening today.
And you were told that this was a sarin gas attack. Was any evidence offered to back that up?
No, this is kind of based on kind of anecdotal evidence from our anecdotal eyewitness account, I guess. There's no way of knowing what gases have been used. One activist said that, this isn't the first time this has happened to our town. Said there have been 28 similar chemical attacks on that area. But obviously, the sheer number of casualties, number of people who were supposed to have been killed on Wednesday is unprecedented.
What's your own feeling? Is it that this was a gas attack and that it was launched by government forces?
It's very difficult to say, obviously, but if you kind of look back to when I was in Damascus in 2011, 2012, the Arab League sent an observer force in December 2011. The day after the force, the observer force arrived in Damascus, there was a huge bomb in the city. So it's possible that the regime is really putting it up to the international community to say that, even though you have these people so near to these alleged attacks, we're in complete control of the situation. There's nothing you can do. But of course, you know, it's so difficult to say. I mean, journalists, you know, there are very few journalists, first of all, in Damascus right now. And access to these areas is impossible, as I said, because of the shelling. But, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that the regime is using chemical weapons. I mean, it's been using surface-to-surface missiles in Aleppo in the north for a number of months. You know, these are large missiles that wipe out kind of whole communities in a single go. So use chemical weapons wouldn't be that unprecedented, I think. That's different.
Now, as we know, the American President Barack Obama warned that the use of chemical weapons would mark a red line for U.S. involvement in Syria. Obviously, a lot of people are asking today, what's the difference? The regime has killed thousands of people already. So why only respond when chemical weapons are used? But do you think that the uncertainty about the, if you like, the provenance of these weapons, of whether it was or was not gas, will allow the U.S. to declare this a not proven and do very little?
It seems the route they're going to go down is through the UN, and already the UN is asking for their own people to be sent to Damascus and allowed access to these latest alleged chemical weapons sites. You know, it's as you say, you know, thousands of people have been killed by conventional weapons, you know, what difference essentially does it make if people are being killed by chemical weapons or not is a different story. There's no appetite whatsoever inside the White House for getting involved in a muddled, messy civil war that Syria has become. You know, people, you know, the Western world doesn't know which groups amongst the rebel alliances they should support, whether they share similar worldviews or not. And, you know, from that point of view, the West, certainly the Americans, are very keen not to get caught up in what's happening in Syria.
Now, one of the reasons why the UN chemical weapons investigators, the reasons given that they're not being given access to this area, is that there is still military activity. But presumably the Syrian government could stop that military activity because they're responsible for at least half of it anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, they'd say that, you know, the whole narrative is that they've been fighting terrorists and, you know, groups linked to Al-Qaeda and so on. To an extent, that prophecy has actually come true. But, you know, it's kind of typical. It's typical form for the regime to say these things, that, you know, they will say that you can't go out there because it's too dangerous, because there are terrorists, and that they'll get killed out there. The regime won't stop shelling certain areas. We know that from the past. They won't stop their own military activities to allow kind of the UN inspectors to go there. But in any case, they're not mandated to go there. And this is what the regime is able to fall back. And the regime is able to say that, you know, you're allowed to go to these three areas. This is what we've agreed on. And, you know, we need to talk about the latest issue if you want to go there. And, of course, that takes time. That takes, you know, that could take a number of months. And by the time that happens, the actual effects and the ability to find out if chemical weapons are used could well have passed.
Stephen, thank you very much indeed. That's Stephen Starr, pardon me, journalist who spent a number of years in Syria and is the author of Revolt in Syria, Eyewitness to the Uprising.